Certainly happy that you're here this morning. Engage in another study from God's Word. We appreciate the fact of those that are visiting with us today. Again, we're glad to see my kids here today and to have them with us. Handy to have a song leader to stay with you. Kyle, he had to take Alani to the hospital and unable to be here. So glad that Evan was able to step in, and certainly appreciate that this morning, as well as whatever one else has done this morning thus far, as we engage in another study from God's Word. I am probably in one of the busiest times right now of this year, at least, doing various things, communicating with people overseas, and taking care of some of that business for Rob, and as well as some other things, then getting ready for a meeting. I'm not going to be gone on a Sunday, but I'll be gone Monday through Friday. I guess driving about, I don't know, a lot of miles during the week. And then a lectureship this next weekend. I don't know how many I'm speaking in yet, at least two, maybe four. So I haven't spoken four times in one day in a while. I used to preach in Cumberland County, and if it fell on the right week, I'd end up preaching six times on a Sunday, but I haven't done that in a long time. But looking forward to all that. One of the things you do when you try to get lessons together is you have your own personal study as well. And my own personal study has taken me through the book of Ecclesiastes over the last month or two, trying to work out some things there with some PowerPoint slides for 2020 sometimes. But as I was reading this, I'll go ahead to my phone here and read it from the King James Version first of all. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. This is the old King James Version. For all this I considered in my heart, even as I declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth, either love or hateth, by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good, to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not. It is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he hath feareth an oath. This is an evil among all the things which are done under the sun, that there is one event to all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men are full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living will know that they shall die, and the dead know not anything. Neither they any more a reward, for memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat bread with joy, and drink the wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Thy garments be always white. Let thy head lack no ointment. Then verse 9 and 10. This is the sermon for today. It says, live joyfully with the wife whom you loveth all the days of the life of thy vanity. which thou hast given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work or device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So I just want to divide this up today into four topics. I think it was in Johnson's notes that I was reading from when I got through verse 9 and 10. The writer said, a life without regrets. A life without regrets. So that's all I want to do today, is just to divide this up into four different categories from verses 9 and 10. The lesson's yours. I know many times that people have regrets in this life. I have a friend that never got married. I suppose the first girl he ever dated, he was in love with. And I suppose he stayed in love with that girl for the rest of his life. And as I've talked to him in the past, I'm sure he has regrets that he didn't carry on with that relationship. That you know, he was single and free and didn't want a lot of things maybe to tie him down years ago. But now he's older and alone. And I suppose he has some regrets. There's other people that I talk to different times. They talk about the fact of now retiring. And maybe they regret not starting an IRA back in, I think they started back in 1978 or so, individual retirement accounts. Maybe they regretted that. Some people regret not staying at their job they were first in. Oh, if I would have stayed there, I'd have 40 some years in that job right now, and I'd have a $3,000, $4,000 pension plus my Social Security, and we'd be doing really well right now. So a lot of people, they have regrets regarding that. Well, like I said, I want to break this down into four sections this morning. One of the first ones that I see here is that he says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou hast lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity. Some of the other versions, some of the newer versions, some of the paraphrase say to joyfully honor your marriage vows. We see in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 18, Genesis 2 and in verse 18. Genesis 2 and in verse 18. So then the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. In Proverbs and in chapter 18 and in verse 22. Proverbs 18 and in verse 22. It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. In Proverbs 5 and in verse 18, Proverbs 5 and in verse 18, put that on the screen. It says in verse 18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Or as Malachi talks about, you can deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. In Malachi chapter 2 and in verse 15, Malachi 2 verse 15, when verse 14 it says, "For what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? To take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth." Says verse 16, "I hate divorce. I hate divorce," says the Lord. I want to take you to an odd passage now. Acts the 16th chapter. Acts chapter 16. I just want to read this for a minute just to build this up into the next comment that I'm going to make. In Acts the 16th chapter and in verse 22, this is when Paul and Silas is put into prison. It says a crowd arose together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them beaten with rods. It says when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet and stocks. And I'm sure he possibly wondered what they had done. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and all the chains were unfastened. The jailer awoke, saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do no harm to yourself, for we're all here." And he called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas, and after he brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in the house, And they took him that very hour of the night. They washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And that's a wonderful, wonderful context concerning conversion. But I want to take it out to Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, as Paul is ascending this letter from being imprisoned again, I always wondered what the Philippian jailer, who now has been a Christian for some time, what he thought about Paul's letter. And maybe how he was certainly concerned about Paul. Maybe a little smile about Paul at this time as he reads what Paul has written to the church at Philippi that the Philippian jailer is a member of now. He says, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God that I mention or make mention of you, always offering prayer with joy in your every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and my defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you with all affection of Jesus Christ. I pray that your love may abound more and more with real knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things which are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless in the day of Christ, being fulfilled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Well, that's enough. I'm curious about how he thought about Paul being joyful. He remembered Paul and Silas being joyful as they lay there in that prison, as he fastened them down to the ground, and no doubt their backs, they had been beaten. That prison floor was cold. It might have been wet. I'm sure if it was raining, there'd be water in there. Just all sorts of problems. But then to see how these two men are taking this, and how they're singing praises to God, and how joyful they are. I've always been curious about that with what Ephesians or what Ecclesiastes says about joyfully honoring your marriage vows. Not being happy to honor your marriage vows. Happiness comes because of circumstances or happenstance, the word comes from. But to joyfully honor your marriage vows. I remember years ago, Brother Culp, he would preach a sermon on marriage. And these were his 4 points 50 years ago concerning marriage. And that is, it's between a male and a female. It's for life. A wife is to submit to her own husband, and a husband is to love his wife. And he would talk about that. And it was a good sermon. It was a scriptural sermon. But he wouldn't mention anything about joy in a marriage. Oh yeah, you obey God. But to obey God involves joy as well within a marriage. I thank God for my remembrance of you all. One of the secrets of joy that you remember different people. In Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 12, Philippians 1 and verse 12, he says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out to the greater progress of the gospel." It's not all about me. Apostle Paul, he realizes it's not all about him. Things are working out. People are being converted. People are coming to the Lord, even though he's sitting there in prison in Rome. Even Caesar's household is being converted to the Lord as he sits there in prison. But here's what I want you to hear this morning on this first point. It might seem strange to you, but it's biblical. Marriage is not about my happiness. Marriage is not about my wife's happiness. Marriage is about our godliness. Our godliness and about God's glory. And if I look at it in that way, that marriage is about God's glory and about my holiness, then I'll look at this differently. We see something else here as well that he says. Number two, be thankful for your portion in life. It's another thing he says here. That a life without regret is a life that is thankful for your portion in life. Back over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And in verse 7. Ecclesiastes 9 and in verse 7. Go then, eat your bread with happiness, drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Choices. We have choices. We have choices about what we're going to eat this afternoon. Maybe you've already eaten once this morning. You had a choice about maybe what you have. You're blessed. You're blessed to have that choice right now. You're blessed to have this choice this afternoon. Maybe what you're going to eat and where you're going to go. And certainly we can thank the Lord for that. In chapter 9 and in verse 8, he says, let your clothes be white all the time, and let not the oil be lacking on your head. I think about white, and usually when you think about white, you think about purity, and maybe that's the idea that he's carrying with him, that you have live a pure life, that you live a holy life. What I was reading regarding this as well, though, that in the Middle East, it gets pretty hot. It's hot here right now. In the Middle East, they say it gets hot as well. And they say that white reflects the light. That I am going to maybe enjoy comfort. And certainly we're doing that right now. We're enjoying comfort. It's cool in here right now. It's getting warmer outside all the time. But right now it's cool in here. When you get home, probably it's going to be cool there as well. When it's cold this winter, you're going to be able to turn on a heater. You're going to experience some type of comfort there. He says your head lack no oil. There's medicine. God has created men with the ability to do things, to work on a heart, to work on lungs, to work on limbs. Been people given the ability to create all sorts of medicine for us, to be able to help us to live a more enjoyable life. So we can see that what Solomon is talking about. But then he says, be thankful for your portion in life that God has given us. We just looked at it here. God has given us many things to enjoy. The secret to happiness is to learn how to be content and not how to complain. Learning to be content doesn't mean that we shouldn't be trying to improve ourselves. The Lord always wants us to improve ourselves. We understand that. But whatever stage we're in right now, as we are improving ourselves, we should be content. And then he says as well that we must be thankful for God's provisions and blessings. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In James and in chapter 1 and in verse 17. James 1 and in verse 17. He says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. But we complain. We complain. We are complainers. Do you think God enjoys listening to us complain? After he has freely given us all these things. Well, third point here. We're going to move quicker through this now. He also says to do your work diligently. That you're going to have a life without regret if you do your work diligently. Man was created to work. To keep, to tend the garden. I don't think we were created to sit down 12 hours a day in front of a video game or an iPad or whatever it is and just work our thumbs all day long. I think there was more to life than that. We are to labor. He says we are to labor, our work ethic, to labor with all our might. He says in chapter 9 and in verse 10. In Matthew and in chapter 7 and in verse 24 through 27. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. He says, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We need to work with a good attitude. We shouldn't be a burden to other people. And because we work hard, we try to help other people. The last one here. He says to acknowledge your mortality. That we're all headed to the grave. Back over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And in verses 5 and 6, Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 6, now I'm in the New American Standard Version. He says, for the living know that they will die, and the dead do not know anything, nor do they have any longer reward. Their memory is forgotten. Indeed, their love, their hate, their zeal have already perished. And they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. How much more the person who loses his eternal soul? In chapter 12 and in verse 13 and 14, he says the conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep His commandments. For this applies to every person. For God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So this morning, do you want to live a life without regrets? He says, first of all, in these two short verses, to joyfully honor your marriage vows. Secondly, to be thankful for your portion in life. Thirdly, to do your work diligently and to acknowledge your mortality. We would encourage you that if you need to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come right now while together we stand, while we sing.